Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I like picking on Miss Lucille. Yeah. Psalm 119. Last week we had Vacation Bible School. I appreciate all the hard work that goes into that. Psalm 119, if you have forgotten, has to do with the Bible. All 176 verses. There are 22 sections. Each one of those, if you have, I have an old Scofield reference Bible. Some have a Ryrie or whatever, what kind of reference Bible you have. And some, they're all, some reference Bibles have them already divided up into the eight verse sections. How many of you got a Bible like that? And up above each one of those, you'll have a Hebrew letter. At the first, you've got Aleph, then there's Bet, and there's Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zayin, Het, Tet, and Yod, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, and today, or tonight is Nun. You'll see that verse 105. Verse 105, Nun. And we'll begin in verse 105, read down to 112, and the Bible. We need to love the Bible, we need to learn the Bible, and we need to live the Bible. And the way you do that is you hold it before your eyes. You hold it before your eyes when you read it. You have it on your minds when you memorize it. And then you heed it in your lives when you obey it. And so that's what you do with the Word of God. You hold it before your eyes, that's when you read it. You have it in your minds, that's when you memorize it. And then you heed it in your lives, and that's when you obey it. Folks, the way you treat the Bible is the way you treat the Lord. This is just, this is the Word. You say, oh, this is not the Lord. Well, the Lord was He was the incarnate Word. This is the written Word, and it's all Him. John 1 tells you that. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word that he's talking about is Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this is more than, it's more than just a book. It's a very serious issue when you start talking about Bible versions and all of that, which we're not doing tonight by any means. But a lot of people say, well, Brother Jeremy, he's a fanatic, you know. Hey, this is a serious matter. Things that are different are not the same. And if you have one that leaves out Acts 8:37 and leaves 17 whole verses out, there's a problem. It doesn't represent Christ. And so here we have in verse 105, let's read it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken in an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, bless your word now. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You'll see in this eight-verse section, as you have seen in all the sections, the Word of God has been given different names. He says, thy word in verse 105. And 106, he calls it righteous judgments. Then 107, thy word. And then 108, thy judgments at the end there. 109, continuing in my hand, yet forget thy law. All of those are words for the Bible. Now, 105 is a very familiar verse of Scripture. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. If you will look at verse number 11, it says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you remember the pledge to the Bible, the pledge to the Bible comes from those two verses, verse 11, verse 105. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's verses 11 and verse 105, talking about the Bible. Now, have you ever, this section is going to talk about this Bible being direction for us. Have you ever noticed in the Bible that unsaved people are never, the Bible never uses the word unsaved. It uses the word lost. And the reason it uses the word lost to describe an unsaved person is because they're without direction, they're without light, they're without guidance, and that's why that Bible calls lost, lost, without direction at all. And so we're going to see here something in these eight verses. Number one, if you're writing notes, taking notes, whatever, God's Word guides us. You'll see the word guiding us in verse 105 and 106. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Many of you that have maybe been, matter of fact, I'll give you a perfect example. Sometimes when I'm here at night and I start cutting lights off to leave, sometimes I'll park in the very back and I'm cutting lights off and I have to go down and it's dark down this hallway. And so we've all got lights on our phones. And so I got this little flashlight and I got it and I'm looking, got my hand, my gun out, and I'm looking. And I'm using the flashlight on my phone. But you know what? If you show it up to where you can see out in front of you, sometimes if there's something in the floor, you'll have to do like this. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You got to show it on your feet, and then you got to show it in front of you. Well, the Bible, you notice what he says? He says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. So with the Bible, you don't have to do this. The Bible is both of those. It's a lamp unto your feet so you don't step in a hole and trip. And then it's a light in front of you where you can see on down the way a little bit. This is what the Bible's talking about. He says, I'm a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. And then referring to that golden lampstand in the tabernacle, it's the only light that shows in that place. Number one, it guides our walk. It guides our walk. In this world we live in today, our feet are set in darkness. We have to have the Bible. We have to have the Word so we don't step in a hole, so we don't break our ankle, so we don't stumble and fall and get off track and off path. We got to have that as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It'll guide your walk. But not only that, it will guide in our weakness. Not only our walk, but our weakness. Notice what he said in verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. He says, I'm afflicted very much. What does that mean? That means a saved person is going to go through some trials, some tribulations. And you're going to have that word to guide your path. And then he says, quicken me, O Lord. Now, let me pause and try to show you something in the Bible. Turn to Numbers 16. And y'all see that word quicken? He says, quicken me, O Lord. Now, if you didn't know the definition of that word quicken, now some of you may already know the definition of that, but if you do not, you will have to know Hebrew to know the definition. Did anybody just throw up a red flag? Let me help you. If God wanted you to know Hebrew, He'd give you a Bible in Hebrew. He gave you one in English, and guess what? It's got a built-in dictionary where you don't have to know Hebrew. Aren't you glad my grandma didn't have to know Hebrew? to know what God wanted her to do? And she knew the Bible. Number 16, look at this. Look at verse 30. We're jumping into context. This is talking about when God opened the ground and swallowed all these people up. Look here. Watch this. Look at this. I mean, this, if this don't thrill you, you know, you've watched TV too much this week. Look at verse 30. Numbers 16:30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down, what? Quick into the pit. They don't go down quick. Now, you're thinking in your mind, quick, that means they did it fast. Well, let's look. Look at verse 33. They and all that appertained to them went down into the pit. Y'all see that? Verse 30 says, went down quick into the pit. Verse 33 says, they went down alive into the pit. Do y'all see that? Now, y'all tell me what the word quickened means. To make alive. How many of y'all see that? How many of you know Hebrew? Well, guess what? We just figured out what the Bible definition of a word is, and let me say something. Not all Bibles will do that. You got to have a good one with a built-in dictionary. If you don't, sometime those guys, they've changed words, they've moved them around, and they've messed up. They did not realize they were messing up a built-in dictionary that God superintended over those translators in 1611. And so, you just better be careful. But there's your Bible definition. Now let's go back to Psalm 119. And then when the man says here, the writer says, quicken me, make me alive. In other words, revive me, O Lord. I'm weak. I need you to revive me. I need your guidance in my walk. I need your guidance in my weakness. Here's a verse you might want to write down. Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is quick. That doesn't mean fast. It means it's alive. The word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the sunder of the soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know why people don't like preaching? Because when that Bible's preached, it's like a two-edged sword. And if you are not on the right side of that sword, it'll cut you. Amen. And boy, you can tell it too. When I'm up here preaching, you can tell when somebody gets cut. They're like, oh. And I keep preaching, and they'll go, oh. Then they'll do this, they'll go, oh. And then I know I'm plowing in the right field, hallelujah. I mean, your face tells it all. I get to go on preaching, you go, oh, you know. Somebody, anyway, I ain't telling that. Anyway, guides in our walk, guides in our weakness. And watch, look at verse number 108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy offering. He'll guide us in our walk. He'll guide us in our weakness. He guides us in our worship. Notice what he says. He says, accept. Lord, would you accept this? I'm begging you, the word beseech. I beg you. Lord, would you please accept the freewill offering of my lips, of my mouth? You say, freewill offerings of your mouth. Freewill. When we talk about free will offerings, we talk about the free will. We take up a free will offering. Nobody is, their arm is not twisted to give, even though sometimes I'm wanting to implement that. Everybody wants a new building. They just don't want to give toward it. But free will offerings means you do it. Without, you do it of your own free will. Nobody's forcing you to do that. Well, when you worship, when you testify, say, Brother Jeremiah, I got a word of testimony. You're fixing to give a free will offering of your mouth. And you're going to worship God, not because somebody made you, but because you want to, and it's free will offerings of your mouth. So, He guides us in our walk, He guides us in our weakness, and He guides us with our worship. Now, that Bible, guides us. Now I want you to look at this. Number two, it guards us. Not only does it guide, it guards. Look at verse 109. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Look at 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I've erred not from thy precepts. Not only does it guide us, it guards us. It guards us from what? Well, listen. He says right here in 109, this is what the psalmist said, my soul is continually in my hand. He says, my life is in my hands. Did y'all know that y'all can do anything y'all want to do? You can do anything you want to do. You go out of this parking lot, you can turn to the right, you can turn to the left, you can go to McDonald's, you can go to Chick-fil-A, you can go anywhere. Your life is in your hands. It is free will. You can do whatever you want to do. But just remember, the psalmist says, I realize I can go any direction I want to go, yet I can't go everywhere I want to go because why? Yet do I not forget thy law. I can. I'm a free will agent. I can go anywhere I want to. But when I get in that Bible says, no, you don't need to go there. I said, well, I can if I want to. But guess what? The Bible says, I don't want to. Man, I can go where I want to tonight after church. Hallelujah. You say, you better not. I don't want to. My want to has been saved. And I think a lot of people's want to needs to get saved. They say, I'm saved. Well, is you want to saved? If you still want to do some of the things you used to do, you need to get your want to saved. He says, my life's continually in my hand. And matter of fact, if you compare that, you can use it in this way as well. Over there when David killed Goliath, over Samuel, when David killed Goliath, the Bible says, I don't think I wrote the verse down, but I remember it. He says, when I went out there to kill the Goliath, he said, my life was in my hand. I went out there of my own free will and voluntary, looking at a 9-foot giant, my life is in my hands, and I was scared. Yet, in other words, yet, David says, I had the Lord on my side. He says, my life's always in my hands. So not only does it guide us, it guards us from some things. It'll guard you. I've given this illustration before. Y'all know why we have guardrails up there when you cross these bridges and stuff. We put guardrails up there. Did y'all know you can jump them rails if you want to? You can if you want to. If you get enough speed, you can if you'd like to. Hip yourself. But you know why they're there? It's not to keep you from having fun. These kids are, well, you just don't want us having fun. No, we're trying to keep you from going over the cliff. We put little guardrails up. We put guardrails up not to keep you from having fun, but to keep you alive. And so that's what the Bible does. Not only does it guide us, it guards us from some stuff. And we put those up with our kids. And no, we don't want them rubbing up on each other like a bunch of cats and when they ain't married. And no, we don't. And we don't want them out. We don't want them out where you can't see them after the, where you can't, behind a building somewhere and you can't see. We don't want that. Well, you just don't want to have fun. No, we're trying to keep you in line. We're trying to keep you guarded. That's what the Bible will do for you. It'll guide you and it'll guard you. It'll guard our fears and it hinders our foes. Did y'all know? Look at this verse number 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Did y'all know? If you're saved, if you're a Christian, did you know the world is waiting on you to fall? You say, preacher, y'all prove it. Listen, anybody can do anything they want to. The perfect example is Tim Tebow. How many of you know Tim Tebow? Quarterback. Who's he play for now? Don't play for anybody right now. Hey, at the time he was playing, he wasn't a starter. He was like a second or third string quarterback. He was a nobody. But he was in the news every day. Why? Because he did this. And they watched him like a hawk. They put the TV cameras on him. And they put the TV camera on. Why? Because the wicked was laying a snare trying to catch him, waiting to see where he went after the football game. Anytime you claim, the world hates you Christians. And the Christians are wanting to be friends with the world. I'm telling you, you're trying to be friends with the wrong person. They're looking for a place to stab you. And that's why you have to be so careful. Well, we say what we do and preach how we do. Son, they can't wait till Brother Jeremy falls. They can't wait. They're waiting on every minute, laying a snare. You Christians too. That's what he says. The psalmist said, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. He said, why? He stayed in the Bible. You stay in the Bible. I think the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You better know what the devil's devices look like. You better know what they look like. Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. He is the master deceiver. And let me just help you, and probably young people need to be out here, but if the whole world's doing it, if everybody's liking it, and if everybody's dressing like it, if everybody's smoking it, and if everybody's listening to it, it's probably, no, it ain't. It ain't no probably to it. If everybody's doing it, Christians probably shouldn't be doing it. And I've laid a snare. Ephesians 6 over there says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, put on the whole armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and so on and so forth. Why? Because you got to watch out. The enemy's going to lay a snare for you. And I'm telling you, listen. Those TV preachers, man, they love that stuff when they fall. Man, they put front page, TV, I mean, you get front page, everything. But somebody, a politician does, you know, they do that all the time. Hallelujah. Where was it? Oh, the Word of God guides us, it guards us, and then lastly, Verse 111 and verse 112, it gladdens us. Notice what 111 says. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Now notice, he says, I have inclined my heart. Now most Christians recline their heart. Psalmist David said, I inclined my heart. So y'all know you need to get out of recline and incline. The Bible's easy to understand. If that's an incline, it's opposite of recline. And so most Christians are reclining when they ought to be inclining. Incline your heart. Don't put your heart to sleep. Incline it up and to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Now notice here, it gladdens us. It guides us, it guards us, and now it gladdens us. Talking about the testimonies. Let me give you something real quick. You're talking about, it says, our heritage. Notice what it says, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Heritage. Heritage. Why did the psalmist David say that? The testimony, thy word is our heritage. Well, you think about this. There's a lot of people that have bled and died so we could have a Bible. I think about those early first century Christians, those Paulicians, followers of Paul. the Paulicians, the Bogomiles, the Huguenots from France, all of those early Christians that were hated by the world, and they died, hid in caves, so we could have, and they would copy the Bible in private, so nobody, if they got caught, they'd be killed. Because nobody, you couldn't teach the Bible. It had to be in Latin, probably Jerome's Latin Vulgate from the Catholic Church, and if you had one in English, oh, if you tried to get one in English, they'd kill you. It was illegal to translate the Bible into English unless it was Latin. And the only qualified people to interpret the Bible were the priests. And so now you've got people like Zwingli. You've got people like John Calvin. You've got people like Martin Luther who nailed the 95 theses upon the door of Wittenberg, nailed it to the wall. They were selling indulgences to pay for St. Peter's Basilica over there in Rome. They were selling indulgences. If you want to be forgiven of your sins, pay up. That's how they built St. Peter's Basilica. That place, hey, it ain't no $400,000 renovation. I mean, it's millions and millions and millions upon millions of dollars worth of indulgences that they took from the people because they wanted their sins forgiven or they wanted their family out of purgatory and they had to pay for it. Martin Luther said, I tell you what, I ain't putting up with that. And son, he took his little 95 theses and he went over to the door of the church where they was preaching at. He nailed it up there. Says, we ain't doing that. We ain't doing it. That's against the Bible. God ain't in that. You're a bunch of, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. And when they saw that on the door, them priests said, you go get Martin Luther. We fix to have a little talk with him. We want a fellowship with him. You understand? And in the Protestant Reformation, you got people like John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe, he was the morning star of the Reformation, hated by Catholics. When John Wycliffe died, 40 years after the man was dead, the Catholic Church still hated that man so bad 40 years later. You with me? They went 40 years after the man. The man can't bother you if he's dead. 40 years in the graveyard, Roman Catholic Church ordered him to be dug up. And his bones, they burnt to ashes. Why? Because he believed that Bible you got in your lap. That's the heritage the psalmist David was talking about. Oh, that ain't all. I could go on and on and on and tell you about William Tyndale. William Tyndale burned at the stake. Burned at the stake. Why? Because he wanted an English Bible. That's what he said. He said he wanted to publish the whole Bible so the common man and the plowboy out in the field could have a copy of the Bible. They burnt him at the stake. They had him tied up, feet a burning. This is what he said. Dying words. Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. And he died. And shortly after that, in 1611, there came a king that says, I got an idea. I don't know why I dreamed this last night, but I just got this funny idea. We need a Bible in common English for the plowboy and the common man. Called the Puritans together and said, let's get a committee together of 52 men. Wound up being 47, the committee that translated King James Bible. You say, what are we talking about? This is what David's talking about. He said, this is what he said. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. There's an heritage behind this. And this is something precious that we just don't need to lay on the coffee table and collect dust and put insurance papers in. And, hey, this right here will guide you. It'll guard you. And it'll make you glad. You get to reading that Bible, and boy, sometimes it won't make you glad. You'll be looking until you get right. And when you get right, then you'll be like, whoo, I'm glad I got right. That made me happy. It does my heart good. Psalmist David says, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Man, I'm glad of that. That's what he said. And then he talks about, this is what he says there at the end. I've inclined my heart to perform my statutes always, even unto the end. You know what keeps us going? You know what keeps us Christians going? We know where we come from. We know where we're going. And we know how to get there. You know how we know that? You learned that from there. We know where we come from. We didn't come from monkeys. We know where we come from. We come from an almighty God. We know where we're going. If you're saved, you ought to know where you're going. And number three, you ought to know how to get there. That's what keeps us going, unto the end. David said, unto the end. This word's right. It's keeping me going. Yeah, it looks bad outside, but guess what? The end of the trip is not 6 foot in the ground. That's just the beginning, folks. Man, we're going to a land that's fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. That's what keeps us going, because this ain't the end. We're just pilgrims passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We're not staying around here very long, hallelujah, if I don't get you excited. Talks about our heavenly home unto the end. And this is what Paul says, and I'm done. He says, let us not be weary. Now I'm going to leave you this. Let us not be weary in well-doing, but in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Holy Hills, don't quit. Don't you quit. Don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes we get weary. We do well. We're trying to do right. We're trying to raise our kids right. We're trying to do this, and we get weary. We get down. Is it worth it? Is it worth doing right? Everybody's against us. They make fun of me at work, and they make fun of me at school. Is it worth it? I'm trying to raise my kids right. Everybody else let the kids run wild, and I'm trying to do right, trying to raise a family, trying to work hard, and all that kind of stuff. Is it worth it? Don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Keep on going. Keep on going for God. That's what he says. It'll guide you. It'll guard you. And it'll sure make you glad at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Well, I about worked myself up into preaching mode. Well, good. All right. We'll have some prayer requests.